Well, this morning we have an opportunity to study the book of Proverbs again. All summer we've been looking at various topics in the Proverbs. Really, the Proverbs teach us wise living, how to live God's way in God's world. That's what we're going to do this morning. If you open your Bibles, we will be in Proverbs. We'll start in Proverbs 16 if you want to turn there, but we're going to look at four different texts that are also printed in your bulletin. When we were divvying out the various texts for this summer, I was really hopeful to get work or relationships or family, things that I think I've got a good grasp of, but instead, in God's providence, it's given the tongue, the way we use our words and our speech. And if I can be honest, this is an area of great weakness in my life. And so it's only in God's wisdom that I would be the one preaching. I would love to preach on something I'm good at, but instead, you get to walk through my personal struggle and hear from my own meditations. These are four verses, sections of verses that have meant a lot to me in my fight to use my tongue well. And so, in reality, what this sermon is just my own meditations over the last handful of years as I've tried to memorize these verses and instill them, and I'm a long way from using them rightly. Even this week, as I was meditating and thinking and prepping my sermon, I still found myself gossiping. I still found myself complaining. I still found myself using my words for all sorts of destruction, even while planning a sermon. And so I need a lot of help, and maybe you're like me, and you need help as well. See, what I've learned, if anything, is that our words are really powerful. Our words can have this effect on people where it inspires them to change course in their lives. It sets them on new paths, or it can harm and destroy. Our words are really powerful, and a recent study showed that the average adult human speaks somewhere around 20,000 words per day. So whether you're a little bit above that or a little below that, we have 20,000 opportunities to impact people for good or for evil. And let me just name, we live in a culture that's really poor with our words. So you can open up a phone or watch the news, and political smear campaigns are everywhere. When's the last time you heard a candidate saying, you know, they have really good ideas, but mine are better? You hear, they're terrible. They're the worst. Don't elect them, elect me. You can listen to podcasts that they're just someone talking about something in some negative manner, whether it's gossip or complaining about their coworkers or their friends. It's really what talk radio or talk podcasts are all about. How about youth sports? It's filled with cussing and criticism, whether it's the coach to the players, the parents to the ref, the opponents to one another. And then maybe you'll decide, okay, if I just avoid all interactions with people, then my tongue will finally be right. And trust me, I've tried this. I went on this little in college. I tried to just avoid all contact with people. I thought that would solve my problem. Well, all you have to do is pull out social media and you see untruth, you see conflict, and so we can't escape it. We're in a culture of unhelpful words. So we speak a lot of words, they're really powerful, and we're in a culture that doesn't use them very well. It's no surprise then that the Proverbs has much to say. It's actually got so much to say that we could do a whole sermon series about the tongue. We could look at what it means for truth and lies. We could look at how does our tongue affect social environment. We could look at what it has to say about encouragement or affirmation. And we're going to do none of that this morning. We're going to just take a step back and look holistically. What does the Bible, what do the Proverbs say about the strength, the power of our tongues? This is really the big idea. And I'm going to just hammer it over and over again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the ability to use our tongues for good or for evil, for blessing or for curse, for life or for death. So having said all that, maybe one other note is, normally when sermons, when we give a sermon, we want to explain the text, we illustrate it, and then we apply it. I'm not going to apply anything. I'm just going to help us think about this one phrase: death and life are in the power of the tongue. And it's going to come across like a good proverb. See, a good proverb, you just have to think about over and over and over again. It doesn't necessarily tell you what to do or when to do it. It just makes you think about what does it look like to live in God's world, in God's way. And so if you walk away from here hearing nothing else, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and then when you're at dinner tonight with your family, talk about that. When you wake up in the morning and you're praying on the way to work, pray about that. And if we do that for the next week and month and year, maybe we could be a church that speaks life. And it would bless our relationships, it would bless this church, and it would begin to spill out of these doors and bless the city of Kirkwood as well. So let me read the four kind of sections of text. We'll start in Proverbs 16. It says this: whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 12, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 15:4, there is one, or a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And lastly, our big idea from Proverbs 18, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let's pray. Father, would you now speak to us through your word? Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Use my feeble words and my weakness in this area to help us all to be people who speak life and not death. In Christ's name, amen. So let's turn to Proverbs 16. See what it has to say about death and life. The proverb opens up in verse 20. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good. Don't we all want to discover good? And so let's give thought to the word, but the first thing we have to figure out is what is this word that's being talked about? You might think, well, it's the Proverbs. Let's just give thought to this proverb. Or maybe even let's give thought to the words of a wise counselor. But there's a little bit of parallelism in this verse, because in part B it says, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. There seems to be a connection between the Lord and the word. All service, you've been hearing about how God speaks. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and the world came into existence. God speaks and creates through his word. We've come to know that that word is Jesus himself. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so, verse 20 is calling our attention to the thought, if we just think about God, if we think about how he is a speaking God, we will discover good. And this really is the ground floor of ethics. If you want to learn ethics, you just start staring at the character of God, how he works, how he acts, his character, and then you can learn wisdom. And so in the Proverbs, it works the same way. If we start at this base level of who God is, and for us, it's that he's a speaking God, we will discover how we ought to use our tongues. See, God speaks, and like I said, the world is created. But he speaks, and he sustains the world. He speaks, and he gives life. He speaks, and we hear, and he corrects us. He instructs us. He teaches us. And so that is God. That's how he uses his words. And yet there's one other base level for ethics. One writer said, the cross is the gateway to life and to living. The cross is the gateway to life and to living. Because as soon as we start talking about God's character, we realize we fall far short, don't we? If my intro did anything, it's to reveal that I am weak with my tongue, and I hope you've thought, I'm also weak with my tongue. I don't use it as I should. And so, if we want to learn how to live godly, we start with the cross. We start with forgiveness. Not only does that provide us new life, but then it allows us to begin to live. The cross is the gateway to life and to living. And so, as we go on the rest of the sermon, if at any point you think, I can't do this, just go back down to the ground floor and realize, I am forgiven. And then walk your way back up to the rest of the Proverbs. That's how wisdom works. And that's exactly what verse 20 is telling us. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Not trusts in his ability to reform his speech, not trust in his ability to speak rightly. Our hope is that we trust in the Lord. That's the ground level of ethics. And then from there, the Proverbs can teach us how to use our words. And so verses 21 through 23 begin to teach us this link between wisdom and words. Twice it says the wise of heart. Then in 23 it reverses it, the heart of the wise. And verse 22 says good sense. And so there's this connection between wisdom and words. And it's exactly what we would expect. See, in the field of ethics, people often talk about kind of three areas: the head, the heart, and the hands. The things we think, the person we are, and the things we do. And our words are actually central to all three of those aspects. So the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We speak about things we know, things we believe, things we like. And speaking is just a choice. What are we going to say? What words will we use? How will we say it? So it's our head, it's our heart, and our hands. That's why the Proverbs seems to have a lot to say, and that's why it's wisdom to use our words rightly. I wonder if you've heard someone use their words often, someone who has lots to say, but they're not saying anything important. That's what the proverb says a fool is. The instructions of fools is folly. So it's wisdom. It's the person with the wise tongue who has something to hear, but it's the fool who speaks a lot of words, but they don't mean anything. They're not worth listening to, which then leads us to really the main point in this section, that it's wisdom that leads to persuasiveness. Do you see it in verse 21 and verse 22? Verse 23, sorry. There's persuasiveness when the person has wisdom. The greatest orators in our world, they use their speech to persuade. And yes, people have used their speech for evil purposes. Just think of Hitler turning a nation to do all sorts of evil. And yet there's people like MLK Jr. and Gandhi and Lincoln who use their words to stand against oppression and evil and injustice. It takes wisdom to use our words, but how much greater is the saint who uses their words to persuade towards godly living, who persuades someone into the kingdom of God? Our words, when used rightly, have incredible power. And verse 24 teaches us that power. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Our words don't just stay at a surface level. They go to our core. They impact the soul. They provide health to the body. And I think we've experienced this. If you've read through Jesus' words, you've experienced the profound impact that he used his words. I have my favorite verses, I'm sure you have yours, that are just sweet balm to your hurting soul. When Jesus uses his words, it's not just intellectual. It's one thing for us just to know a lot of things about him. It's one thing to understand his teaching, but when he speaks, the words begin to trickle down into our soul. They impact our heart. That is the impact that words can have. So the wise person uses their words to persuade, and not just persuade intellectually, but to persuade the entire life. There's teachers who one or two words persuaded someone in a totally different career trajectory. There's been coaches that have just applied the right word at the right time to give confidence. There's parents or grandparents who knew the right words to speak, and we can trace our spiritual lineage to them. That is the power of words. That's the power of wise words to persuade the heart and the soul towards kingdom purposes. So what maybe does this look like? Let's turn to Proverbs 12, 18, because the proverb is going to give us a really clear picture of the impact of our words. It says, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. It just gives us this vivid illustration. Picture someone with a sword, a dagger, stabbing a couple times. Can you see the person healing over in pain? Can you see the blood? Can you see the air leaving their body? That is what a rash word is like. Someone who uses their words to damage, to harm. It's like a sword thrust. And yet, there's a different way that we can use our words. It's the word of a healer. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Picture a surgeon sewing up a wound, applying a balm, wrapping it, taking what was festering, and over time, making it whole, making it healed. And so we see in this way that our words can either cause harm or they can heal. Godly words know the right thing to say. They come to the wound and they apply the balm of wisdom and of the gospel. I have an example of sword thrusts in my life. I was asked to be a best man in a friend's wedding. So I thought, what do best men do? Well, they make some jokes about the groom. They make people laugh. At the end, maybe they apply something that they appreciate about the groom. And everyone laughs, and it's a great time. My problem was I took my instruction for my best man speech from the world and not from the Proverbs. And so by the end of my fifth or sixth sword stab, the air had left the room. The groom wasn't so happy. We weren't so joking anymore. And I crushed him. I broke his spirit. What would it have looked like for me to use my words to build up, to encourage, to actually know him? Because I am one of his closest friends, to know he has wounds. What could my words in public do to heal the wounds rather than expose them? Rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so wise words are encouragement, affirmation, support. It's offering God's words to someone in their time of need. It's noticing what they've done and saying, well done. See, I'm a good Southern boy. I know my manners. I can say yes, sir, and no, ma'am. I can say thanks and please. But there's something much deeper here. Healing words go beyond that. They notice something about the person and affirm it. They encourage it. It takes wisdom that I often lack, to be a healer. And these words, they spread well beyond just a one-to-one relationship, and that's what Proverbs 15:4 gets at. It says this, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The first thing we notice is there's an analogy, a gentle tongue. Maybe we can contrast a gentle tongue with a harsh tongue. Oftentimes, the calm answer, the relaxed speech is going to do much better than the hostile answer. You know, I don't know the last time yelling at Ayla did any good, but calmly talking to her, even when I'm frustrated, becomes a tree of life. A tree of life creates an environment where things flourish. There's animals that live in trees. There's other organisms. Trees create this ecosystem of life, and that is what the wise tongue does. A gentle tongue creates this area of flourishing, whether it's your marriage or your family or even your workplace. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. But before you think, let me just always speak really calmly and at a low level, and that will solve all my problems. The proverb turns and says, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Some of our most silent speech causes the most harm. Secrets and slanders and gossip. We can use our tone low, but if we use it incorrectly, if the words we say aren't with wisdom, it breaks the spirit. And the Proverbs has much to say about social settings. We would love to just imagine that this secret, this gossip, it's just the two of us. But in reality, it begins to spread like gangrene. And this is not the reason we at Trinity sit in two different sides, but in a sense, secrets and gossip can divide a room in half. Those that know and those that don't know. Gossip can be those that support the one and those who are opposed to them. So even gentle words, if used wrongly, can cause great harm. There was a time in my work where I was not enjoying what I was doing. So every day when we were asked on a scale of 1 to 5, how are you doing? I was a 1, maybe a 2. I'm quite pessimistic sometimes. But I wasn't shouting, I wasn't yelling, I wasn't openly criticizing anyone. But over time, my negative attitude, my slander, my one-on-one conversations, it began to spread. And it ruined the mood of our team. That is the effect our words have. Gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So, what does all this mean for us? What does all this, if we could summarize it, we can turn to Proverbs 18. That's our last text. It says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Really, what it's teaching us is there's a craving inside each one of us, and our words satisfy. It feels good to yell. It does. It satisfies your problem. Just yelling satisfies, but it reaps destruction. And so whatever the yearning is inside you is going to come out. If you're an angry person, anger will come out. If you're vindictive, vindictive words will come out. If you are jealous, jealous words will come out. But if you are godly, if you have wisdom, if you are so overjoyed, it will come out of you as well. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. And ultimately, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. In a sense, the proverb is laying out for us two paths, a path of life and a path of death, a path of blessing and a path of curse, harm and or healing and harm. There's two paths. And that's exactly what we would expect in this world that we live in, where we follow a God who speaks life, but we have an enemy who speaks death. See, Jesus tells us the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. See, the Christian has an enemy who would love to destroy the works of God. He would love to sow discord in marriages. He would love to harm and expose wounds, and he uses his words like that. See, it's like that those old school cartoons where you have the little devil on the one shoulder and the angel on the other, and the one is whispering untruths in his foolishness, and the other is speaking truth and blessing with his mouth. We have two paths before us. We can follow the ways of our God who speaks life, or we can follow the ways of our enemy, the slanderer, the adversary, and speak death. Our words have tremendous power. And so we have a choice before us. What are we to do with our words? So let's summarize what we've talked about. There's this foundation of ethics, and it is God himself. When we look at the way he uses words, we learn how we ought to use our words. But we also learn that the foundation of ethics is forgiveness. The cross is the gateway to life and to living. And so if at this point you're thinking, I could never do this, run back to the foundation and receive the forgiveness that God offers. Trust in the Lord. And from there, we can learn what does godly living look like. Well, it looks like persuasiveness, using our words to steer people towards the kingdom of heaven, using it to steer them towards godly living, using it to steer them towards flourishing. And ultimately, our words, they don't stay here. They have an impact on the heart. There is no neutrality in our words. All 20,000 of them are either death or life. They're either moving people one step closer to living for God or moving them one step further away. And so they can be sword thrusts or healing balm. They can be a tree of life, or they can break the spirit. Ultimately, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so, Trinity, would you consider what it would look like for us to use our words for life? There's lots of different areas. But what would it be like if each one of us just thought, my words today, all 20,000 of them matter. And today I'm going to try to use them to encourage people, to support people, to bless people. I'm going to speak God's word over them. I'm going to tell them God's word. For my non-Christians, I'm going to evangelize them. For young believers, I'm going to disciple them. For my friend, I'm going to bless them. Even in the hardest relationships, my words will be used for life today. What would it do for this church and for this community? We have a choice, life or death. Let's be people who use our words for life. Let's pray. Father, we take our cues from you, the speaker of life. We have come to see and come to know the life that you offer in Christ. And it's through your word. It's through you speaking to us. Our hearts have come alive as we have heard. And so, Lord, would you use us in that way? In all of our relationships, would you use us to speak our words with life? God, it takes wisdom to do that. And far too often, we cause death. We ask that you would forgive us and that you would bring healing in areas that we have caused damage. And then today, help us to be people who choose life, to begin to walk in the path of godly living, to know how to use our words for life. It takes great wisdom, but you say, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God to give generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given him. So I pray for this church, for each person here, give us the wisdom we need to speak life today. In Jesus' name, amen.